G3. The Model of Being and Its Universal Laws. Number 7A.
Some students have asked me if I would spell out the term Weltanschauung. So I will do it. It's WELTANSCHAUNG. Quite a short term. You see, it is a composite of Welt, which is the world, and Anschauung, which is not rightly translated with view, world view, because that would be in German Weltsicht and not Weltanschauung. Anschauung means the way you look at things and give it a meaning. That's the main point. So it is not a world view, it's the way you give to your world a meaning. The way you view the world and give it a meaning. So that is the difference. That's why there is no proper translation possible into English, because that meaning would not be in a world view. Okay. And you see again, it has the advantage of giving to our view a meaning, whereas old science was not allowed to give meaning to science. That was cut out. Okay, we go back to our subject, and we come to B, Roman 1, the object of investigation. Namely, what is the object of investigation in a holistic science? It's naturally God, therefore a divine theology. Now, we come on very well-known ground. I can now speak rather quickly or go through the subject rather quickly, because now we reiterate, so to say, what every student of Christian Science who has read the textbook and has been familiar with the teaching of Christian Science knows very well. And yet I want to go through it with the purpose, or with the inner purpose, that we have some kind of an awe before those statements. We know the statements, and we can reiterate them in our dreams. But now I would like to see that we really see the bigness, the greatness of these simple statements. That they are big because, they absolutely deviate from the old science. So that we can really see the very big difference between old science and the new science or a holistic science. So that we are very deeply impressed that our standpoint and our attitude is something very, very different from any other scientist and other sciences. So the object of our investigation, we said, is God. How does the textbook bring out this very point? And I refer mostly, and can refer mostly, to the sixth chapter, because it seems that in that sixth chapter, really the main criteria of a science, of a holistic science, is brought out. So, what is the object of our investigation in that one world view? It is the infinite one. That's our object. Not the parts are our object, not the little problems are our object of investigation. The object of our investigation is the infinite one, the whole. Therefore, the teaching of Mrs. Eddy is a holistic teaching. It goes out and shows that God is one. That God is not only the one, but also the only. Can you hear the holistic sense? That it is the one being, capital B, that she is interpreting. The one being, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent being. The one being, the I am that I am. It is the I, the only I or us of which she speaks. So we get first a compound sense that the holistic purpose and object is the infinite one, and she shows here that from the infinite one in Christian Science comes one principle. So again we have a holistic sense, we have to deal with the one, the only, which is a one principle, not many principles, just one principle. Seems so natural, so well known, but in everyday life we fall away from that high standard right away. So from the infinite one in Christian Science comes one principle. What is that one principle? She says it is the principle of all. And again you have a holistic sense. That all is a small a, it's a principle of all reality, she says, the principle of all being, the principle of all science, capital S, and the principle of all science, small s. That's interesting. Within the same chapter, within a few pages, she gives both renderings, that it is a principle of all science, capital S, of the one and only science, and it's also the principle of all science, small s, showing that it is the principle of the science of all sciences. Can you see how she enlarges and enlarges constantly the concept of that one, of that infinite one? She goes on and enlarges it even more and shows that that object of investigation as God, the one and the only, the one principle, is both noumenon and phenomena. She speaks in the sixth chapter that in science, mind is all, with a capital A, mind is all, including noumenon and phenomena. So it is not dividing up the noumenon from all the phenomena, but the one noumenon is at the same time the infinite phenomena. And you get the sense of oneness again. It is God and his thoughts. Again, a oneness of God and the way God translates itself to thought, to the thought of us, that it is one. That God is thinking us. That we are not thinking about God, but that God is knowing us. And that's the only true thought. God and his thought. From the infinite one, she says, comes one principle and its infinite idea. So again we have an enlarged sense of the infinite one. It's not only one principle, but also its infinite idea. Not ideas. It says infinite idea. Can you see? That's very important to see that. That one principle has an infinite idea, that the infinite principle is reflected by the infinite idea, and so we have again a unity and a oneness of principle reflecting itself in infinite ideas, and so that principle and its spiritual individuality is one, principal idea is one, she says, and this one is God, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, being with a capital B, not with a small b. So that within the one being, capital B, we have principle and idea, being one, within the capital being. So we have to do with one being in our Weltanschauung, just with one being, and that one being is both principle and idea. It's both principle reflected in infinite ideas, and that principle and idea being one, so that there is no outside anymore. So we have covered with this, first, that God is principle. Second, we have covered that that principle is noumenon and phenomena. Now, it even goes further and says that those phenomena all together are one, namely a oneness. That is different than God the Infinite One, which now we get the oneness, namely that all ideas reflect each other in oneness, that they are not isolated ideas. So God, she says, is one. The allness of deity is his oneness. So from the one, she deduces further to the oneness of all the ideas together, so that there is no isolated idea in that being. Which brings us to another sense of oneness, that that oneness cannot be separated. That God and the universe, she says, is one, that God and man is one and coexist and are co-eternal, that creator and creation is one, that nature and God is one, that nature and God is one, so there is no nature out there, the universe out there, and somewhere a principle, a creator, that creation, that nature and God is one, that Father and Son are not two different things, they are one in being. Every idea, now you come even to the idea. Every idea reflects life, truth, and love. Shows that every idea is as big, qualitatively as big as its principle. Therefore is one with that principle. That the power of an idea is the power of the Infinite One. In this way she develops in various ways, always from another angle, the concept there is only the Infinite One. The Infinite One is noumenon and phenomena, that they cannot be separated, that they coexist and are co-eternal, and that these phenomena, these ideas, reflect each other as oneness, and every idea reflects a whole, namely, every idea reflects life, truth, and love, and therefore is one with the whole. Can you hear holism ringing through? Huh? That every idea reflects the characteristics of the whole, not a part of the whole, but the whole. So in this way, language tries to explain what Mrs. Eddy, or what we, finally, will have to feel, tone-wise, about that there is only one being, one infinite being. But naturally, we have seen that we cannot start out, as many Christian scientists always try to start out and say, well, we have to start out by seeing that God is all and the only. So what do we need more if God is all and the only? Well, this is a very true statement, but it's by itself it is a very unscientific statement. By itself, are you clear that I say by itself? That it is by itself really a mystical statement, a statement that people have been made long before Christian Science, long before Jesus was on earth, that being is one and that God is all in all. It is a mystical statement as long as it's taken in an isolated way. The moment we put into this concept of oneness a scientific structure, then it becomes a scientific concept of God being the one and the only. But we have to start out first with that sense that that our basis is the one, that God is all and inseparable from its manifestation. That a sense of holism and actually structuralism, where every part reflects really the characteristic of the whole, is also brought out in Mrs. Eddy's term in quite a unique way, where she says, "We admit the whole because a part is proved, and that part illustrates and proves the entire principle." You have a wonderful statement how she expresses the holistic sense of her the holistic sense that there are no parts apart from the whole. But what is called parts are always parts reflecting the whole. Because she said, if you prove a part, this is a proof in Christian Science that you prove the whole. Because the part illustrates and proves the entire principle. This is very unique to the Christian Science textbook, that if you prove a part, that you prove the whole. That you can only do in a holistic science. In any other science, you can't do that. In any other science, you can prove a part and find you have found an answer to a part and that. But that doesn't mean that you prove the whole. Only in the teaching of the Christ Science, we can have that. Yes, so this is our starting point, Roman 1, the object of investigation, that we have a concept of just one being. But now comes the but. The but that if we leave it at that, that this does not make sense. That it is just a elusive, sentimental, nice feeling which all the other religions have too. They all, also the higher religion, would accept that there is only one God and that God is all. The question is, what does it mean? What is implied by such a statement? Because we can know that anybody could interpret such a statement in all kinds of different ways. The old science said, yes, there is only one reality, and that reality is matter. They had the same God, but the material God. There is that matter is all. The whole universe is matter. So they also had a theology which was very material, that the reality of being is material. So we have to ask ourselves, how can we find the inner content of this statement? Now, we cannot find it through wholeness by itself. It says God, good, is self-existent and self-expressed, though indefinable as a whole. That's the important point now, that though her basis is the whole, she says, but we cannot define the whole through the whole. That's what other religions may try to do, that they define the whole through the whole. And she says, it is indefinable as a whole. Well, if it is indefinable, well, what can we do? And in order to define the content of the whole, she needs science as a method. Another statement that she makes in this regard, it's from Genesis, even eternity can never reveal the whole of God. So the whole, she goes out from God is the whole. The whole must be, is that which fills the whole reality. But even eternity cannot reveal the whole. So we can say, well, then we better give up and go fishing. That's much easier. If we never arrive at it, if we never can touch it, if we never can fathom it, so what's the use of it? Since there is no limit to the infinitude, so it is rather depressing, the statement, to say, well, God is the all and is self-exist and self-expressed, but there is no limit to it, and even eternity cannot reveal it. So shall we give up? And actually, we are not going to give up. Now comes point two, the holistic method of investigating a God, namely through the Christ science. We have seen, yes, mathematics is infinite. Even eternity cannot reveal all the infinite calculations in mathematics. Even eternity cannot do it. It's too big. All the calculation possible, in the realm of arithmetic, I want to take a smaller field than mathematics in arithmetic. And yet, we feel, oh, that doesn't matter really, because what I need in order to calculate in all my life, for all the 70, 80, 90 years, I can learn and I can master. I only have to see the science of arithmetic, and that I can learn. So that I don't need in my life to calculate every possible calculation. I have only to calculate those calculations which come into my individual experience. So with the infinite too, we don't have to know the infinite as the infinite. We only have to know the infinite, the way the infinite comes into our lives, and we can master the infinite idea, the way it comes into our life, all through our life. Isn't that quite enough? For us, that's whole. For the individual, that's wholeness. It's a wholeness that says, I have a science, I have a method, with which I can master the infinite idea, so that whatever individual experience reaches me, I can master it. Did I put the question clearly? This terrific, difficult question that the whole cannot be understood as a whole, but that the whole can be understood so that that whole, as it reaches me individually, I can master it, to master the infinite idea. But I can only master it, as in arithmetic, if I know the science of arithmetic. Okay? So we come to Romans 2, the holistic method of investigating, namely through the Christ science. And the very first criteria that we have there is science divinely defined. Now we come to the way Mrs. Eddy defines science. Not the way that the dictionaries define science. It has been a great help to us to know what old science has considered to be science. And it was a great help to us up to now, and will still be a great help in the future, though it may not be the end of all, but just the basic from which we go out. Because Mrs. Ellis asks, has God no signs to declare himself? And naturally she answers and says, yes, God has a signs to declare himself. And when she gives that declaration of what she understands under the term science, we are a little bit flabbergasted, because she gives two different, very different definitions. And from these two definitions, up to now, we were very happy to leave the first definition out of sight, just to consider as if she hadn't given it, and have only taken the second. The first is that she says, divinely defined, science is the atmosphere of God. And we couldn't quite make out what that meant. It was for us a bit indefinite, a bit emotional, well, not emotional, a bit indefinite. Huh? An atmosphere, how can an atmosphere be scientific? An atmosphere is something that you feel, it's a tonality, it's a spiritual sense of it. So we felt we are safer with the second definition which she gave, where she said, but humanly construed, you have again that very nice differentiation that she said, divinely defined, then humanly construed, as if she would say, we can look at science from two different angles, from a divine angle, but we can also look at it and must look at it from a human angle, humanly construed.